You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, now available on iTunes. Hit the subscribe button and never miss an episode. We are also available on Audio Boom and Mixcloud, while Android users can find us on Pocket Casts and Podcast Republic. Enjoy the show and thanks for listening.
You're all very welcome to episode 17 of the Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're branding tonight's show Decision Day Special because, John, if my maths was never great in school, but simply put, three doesn't go into one.
Nope, somebody's going down, so it's between Galway, St. Pat's and Sligo.
Yeah, and we have five special guests, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight. We have everyone that's been involved in the relegation story this season, so... We speak to the two clubs that have gone down. The goalkeeping coach from Drogheda, Chris Bennion, he joins us. We speak to the marketing director at Finn Harps, Aidan Campbell. He was kind enough to join us after Harps relegation this week. We discussed how that's going to affect Harps off the field and a few other interesting bits to come out with that interview as well. So make sure you stick around for that one, Harps fans. We speak to Ger O'Brien, the St. Pat's assistant manager. We speak to Shane Morrison, who is a Sligo Rovers fan. And we speak to our Galway man, Julian Canny, who joins us for the third time this season. He's been ultra optimistic all season that Galway were going to stay up. But his nerves seem to have got to him, John, and we'll play that interview shortly for you.
Yeah, they've a bit of a mountain to climb with Galway, but let's get on with the show, Kieran.
Yeah, so we're going to start the show tonight, John, by looking back at the weekend's results. So, John, we'll start with the big win for St. Pat's at home to champions Cork City. Cork got off to a great start in this game, took a 2-0 lead. Nobody was saying then about, oh, this is Cork putting out a weaker side or they're not interested. Everyone was saying Pat's have bottled it. But no, Pat's came fighting back. Some great tactical decisions made in that game by Liam Buckley. He's been a man heavily criticised this year, but he got a spot on Friday night.
Yeah, well, there was talk about Cork's weakened team at the start and whether or not there's a bit disrespectful for the other clubs in there. But like you say, 2-0 lead early on. Sadly, it went close. It was that man Scowron who actually flapped a bit in goals.
Wasn't overly impressive the other night, John, I have to say.
No, he wasn't, but equally, you know, that first chance for Akil Campion, he couldn't take advantage. It was down to Delaney scoring from a corner to make the breakthrough, 1-0 to Cork. Conan Byrne went close there afterwards for Pats, shot against goal. And then sadly, a cracking strike here.
Yeah, it's a goal of the season contender for me, John.
Yeah, 2-0. But to be fair, Pats showed some spirit there. It's D-Day for them, really. And they came back into the game. Jordy Boak's first goal for the club. Pulled it back to 1-1. Billy Dennehy equalised to make it 2-2. Great Fagan through ball to Ian Birmingham, 3-2. And from a Dennehy cross, Curtis Byrne made it 4-2, Kieran.
Yeah, just on Dennehy, for me, he was one of the key players in this game, John. He's a man... We haven't really seen the best of him since his days at Shamrock Rovers, and even then he could be inconsistent at times, but he really stepped it up in the big game the other night. I also thought the man of the match for me was Killian Brennan. I thought he just totally dominated the midfield, and as I mentioned earlier on there, the little key aspect of this game was Liam Buckley's tactical switch. He took off his holding midfielder Paul O'Connor. He brought on Curtis Byrne, who, as you said, got the fourth goal, and a fine header that was too, and he's been really, really good for Pats this season. And as well as that, Owen Garvin and Killian Brennan swapped, so Brennan came a little bit deeper, was able to control the game, and Garvin was linking up higher up the field. And for me, it was just a brilliant bit of tactical stuff from Liam Buckley.
Yeah, and you know, Pats showing the faith in Buckley earlier in the season has obviously done them well. He's made some good signings, and that's what's seen them in a position where, you know, with all they need is a point on final match of the season and they're safe.
Yeah, I think the one criticism in terms of the squad management at the start of the season in pre-season for St. Pat's was that maybe they put all their eggs in one basket and that they'd gone so hard to trying to keep Christy Fagan that they hadn't concentrated enough on the rest of the side and that they were weak in other areas of the field, particularly midfield. But we're going to play our interview now in a moment with Ger O'Brien where he talks about the frustrations Pat's had in pre-season trying to attract players to the club, and maybe that explains why they had such a slow start. And they were able to bring in top quality players in the mid-season break. Brennan, Garvin, Balk, who's been a revelation.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been a real turning point for Pats, and they played a huge role in the win on Friday. So we're going to play that interview with the St. Pat's assistant manager, Ger O'Brien, now. So I'm delighted to be joined on this week's show by St. Patrick's Athletic assistant manager and, of course, a legendary player at Richmond Park. It's Ger O'Brien. Ger, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Cheers, lads.
So, Ger, I'd imagine a bit of nerves this week ahead of the big game on Friday. You go to Derry. You need a point to really secure your safety. How's the mood in the camp at the moment?
The mood's been okay, to be honest with you. I think there's no one underestimating the challenge that has been upon us for the last kind of few months, and we've just been kind of in good form, really. And you know, that's brought a little bit of confidence. And you know, the performance last week, especially the second half against Cork, was quite good. And to be honest with you, we weren't expecting anything other than for it to come down to the final day of the season. Because in fairness, the Sligo and Galway have been in great form as well, and have been playing really well. So, but the mood's okay. Yeah, there will be nerves, but you know, everyone has gone to Derry full of confidence, and hopefully we can finish off the job.
Yeah, I mentioned it on last week's show, Ger. It's strange to see a team that's collected 15 points from a possible 33, I suppose, in this position. But I suppose it's easy to pinpoint why Pats have found themselves in this position. It was the slow start of the season, so you must be extremely frustrated about that, considering the team has shown its credibility in recent weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been, you know, it's been well documented that we missed out on a lot of targets in pre-season. So, you know, Liam felt that we needed to go a different direction and go with a younger kind of frame of player. And unfortunately, we just missed experienced players in key positions. And, you know, we had a really kind of slow start, and there was no consistency in our game at all. Everything was just, you know, stop start. We couldn't pick a settled team, and we just weren't getting results. Performances weren't good, and in fairness, we knew where we needed to put things right. And we were lucky enough that the owner was able to, you know, to give Liam some backing, and we were able to get some players out coming up to the window and get some really important, more experienced players in, and that has kind of settled us down. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we've been beaten three times in the league since the summer break, and we've had 10 men in all those games. You know, we were sent, Owen Garvin was sent off at half time in Cork, we lost 1-0. Ian Birmingham was sent off at 0-0 up in Dundalk, and Gavin Pearce was sent off after 15 minutes in Dalymount. So, you know, those three performances aside, we've been quite well, we've been, you know, quite good, and performances have been decent. And it's no coincidence when you bring in the type of player like Killian Brennan and, you know, Jordy Balkin, Owen Garvin, and, you know, Ian Turner, Paul O'Connor, you know, it makes a world of difference in how you approach games and the type of style of play that Liam likes to impose on the game. And these guys are made for it because of the ability that they have. So since the turn of the break, it's, you know, we find ourselves in this position, and I'm sure, you know, Galway and Sligo will be kicking themselves as well that we've let it go this far. But, you know, that's just the reality of it, and we need to make sure that we're, you know, on our A game come Friday evening.
Just on the subject of transfer business, Ger, I think it's fair to say this season, of all season, with three teams going down, it was always going to be a big factor in the season, the mid-season transfer break. And you mentioned the likes there of Killian Brennan, Jordy Balk, Owen Garvin, players that have come in and they've done really well, and they really stepped up to the fore there against Cork City in the recent game. And there was a brilliant tactical move by yourself and Liam Buckley where Brennan and Garvin switched positions and Curtis Byrne came on for Paul O'Connor, and it had a huge impact on the game. So I suppose you must be delighted to have been able to attract those players to the club, or in Killian's case back to the club.
Yeah, well, in fairness, I think Liam spoke to Killian in pre-season. We just couldn't get a deal over the line, being honest with you. And in fairness, we had to stick to our budget. I've been at the club for 7 years, and we've never once missed a wage in St. Pat's. And that's credit in League of Ireland. I know people listening in this will probably be raising their eyebrows and having a little chuckle, but in League of Ireland terms, that's vitally important for players. And we joined the club in 2012. We all came in at the same time with Liam, and the owner has never once, you know, the wages have always been in there every week, and that's quite important. And the owner has cut his cloth to where he feels the club needs to be. We have a budget in place, and Liam stuck to the budget. You know, we missed out on probably three or four players that went to Bray because we couldn't afford them, you know. And we seen what went on this season with Bray. It kind of leaves a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth, being honest with you. But you know, in fairness, the owner was able to get some more, you know, investment in during the summer. We had to get, you know, Patrick Craig left, Sam Bearden left, Jack Bailey left, and we were able to bring in players like Killian and Jordy and things like that. And ultimately, there was a bid in for Conor O'Malley, which obviously, you know, was well documented. He was such an important player for us this season. And, you know, we were able to get a fee in for him, which we sort of looked at and said, right, you know, the bigger picture is we probably need to improve and strengthen the team. And it was a conscious decision made. It was a really difficult one, but we had to kind of sell Conor in order to balance the books. And it's one thing that, you know, frustrates me, because we have done our business properly. We have we've spent the money that's in budget that's given to Liam, and we were all frustrated in pre-season missing out on our targets. But ultimately, you know, Liam's not going to go out and the owner's not going to go out spending silly money, and then we can't pay the wages. But, you know, getting the opportunity to bring in Killian in the summer and on Garvin and Jordy and Paul and Ian, and obviously Lucas came in to replace Conor as well, just gave everyone a new lift, a bounce, and, you know, those guys are coming in fresh, and it kind of gave everyone that drive and focus to be able to push on in towards the end of the season.
Yeah, Jerry, I mean, we were talking about the way Pats have played this season. They've struggled a little away from home this season. Is there anything you can put that down to at all, Jerry?
Probably just a little bit of naivety, to be honest with you. The first half of the season, you know, I remember some games that we were going in with our three centre midfielders, the oldest might be in 20 years of age, and you know, this league can be quite unforgiving, you know, and we were going to different places, and we were just being a little bit sloppy in the way we play and a little bit naive, and teams were able to kind of capitalise on us. But when you put in that experience into key positions, like, you know, Jordy has had a few seasons behind him in Scotland and Holland in centre back, and, you know, he comes in beside Lee Desmond. And then you have the likes of Killian coming in with Owen Garvin, who have probably the guts of maybe 600 or 700 games between them, between Ireland and the UK. And that just allows us to be a little bit more calmer and a little bit more braver and stuff like that. And as I said, there's no coincidence with how our form has improved since the halfway point.
Yeah, we've pointed that out before. Yeah. The signings have been excellent. But one man, I'm glad you mentioned him, because I wanted to just quickly ask you about Sam Verdon. He was signed by Longford Town. He's been very, very good for us.
Yeah, he is. He's a good player.
Yeah, was it just a case of...
I've known him a long time, and he's got... I know some of his younger brothers coming up. I've actually coached some of them. They're a lovely family and stuff like that, and he just probably... He was in and out of the team at the beginning of the season for us, and he just probably felt with Killian coming in and Owen coming in his position, that the chances of him getting in ahead of those two were slim, and I think he just felt that maybe a fresh challenge was needed in an ideal world. If we weren't in the position we were, Liam probably would have wanted to keep him, because there's definitely the possibility of Sam becoming a top player. But the position we were in, it was just, as I said previously, it's just balancing the books and stuff like that. And Sam had showed a willingness that he wanted to go and play week in, week out. And I only met him on Saturday there and had a good conversation. He had a lot of positive things to say and built Longford, and I think he had a relatively good second half of the season himself.
You better not be signing him back, Jer.
So, Jer, finally, a 2-1 win in your most recent meeting with Derry, and a 2-2 draw early in the season in April. So the head-to-head record suggests Pats have enough to get the point they need here, despite the tough trip up to Buncrana. I imagine you're hopeful going into it.
Yeah, of course. And as I said previously, I think the confidence is good. And, you know, certainly the character we've shown, because, you know, people would have been looking at the game and 2-0 down against Cork, and like, sort of said, oh, Pats have bottled it and things like that. And, you know, we were conscious that we needed to try and get a goal back before half time, and that kind of snowballed, and we were able to get in level, and then we went on second half. I thought we dominated the game second half, and that should give the boys some confidence going into Friday night. But the games we've had have been really tight against Derry over the last couple of seasons, since Kenny Shields took over. And the game earlier on the season, we drew 2-2, but we were absolutely battered up there. We went in half time 1-1, and Conor O'Malley probably saved 5 or 6, you know, unbelievable saves in the first half. And, you know, we kind of were very fortunate to get away with a point. In the home game, it could have went either way. Derry took the lead, and we managed to peg them back and get a penalty and stuff like that. And we got the winner there, so I don't expect anything different. To be honest with you, it's going to be tight. And I'm sure the other games, you know, Drogheda had a good win the other day against Sligo. Everyone's going to be nervy going into it. So, you know, everyone is expecting, you know, tomorrow to be tight games. We've just got to worry about ourselves and try and look after our performance and make sure the boys are right and we go out with the right attitude and the right game plan. And if we can execute that, well then, you know, I believe that we can get some sort of positive results from the game.
Will you be keeping an eye on the other results, or is it just simply a case of getting the job done and worrying about that afterwards?
Yeah, I think the bench. I think we'll be focused on the game. I'm sure information, if it needs to get down to us, it's important. It's not 3 weeks out or 2 weeks out where we can't control. It's, you know, you don't get second chances this Friday, so it's important that we look after ourselves. And it's, of course, it's the main priority. But you know, and hopefully we're on the right end of the result. But ultimately, if we need to make changes, I'm sure that someone will let us know if other results aren't going away or if they are going away. But you know, it's important that the players fully understand that it's not hoping that Dundalk do us a favour or Drogheda do us a favour. We've got to go out and make sure that we do ourselves justice, get the point or the 3 points that we need, and then that's it. It doesn't really matter what other results go then.
Well, Ger, I think you've summed it up perfectly there by saying you don't get a second chance after this Friday. So we're going to leave it on that note. Thanks very much for joining us and the very best wishes for the weekend.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Ger.
Good luck, Ger.
No problem at all. Thanks, lads.
So moving on to the next game, John, and before we even speak about the action on the field, we have to speak about the 25-minute delay. Do you want to take us through that?
Kieran, this was due to a clash of colours. Now, it wasn't a shirt, it wasn't shorts, it wasn't socks. It was the sleeves, Kieran.
Yeah, incredibly, John. This fixture was played earlier in the season with the exact same set of kits, and the referee on that night didn't see any issue with it. And I don't think any other referee would have seen issue with it, but Mr. Buttermore has form for this. And, you know, for me already, the FEI have made a slip-up in the way these kind of last couple of games have been scheduled. For me, all the teams should be kicking off at the same time in the last 3-4 weeks of the season. I don't think it's fair that one team should have an advantage over another by kicking off a day later and knowing that kind of what they need to do. Maybe I'm old-fashioned in saying that, but for a game to be delayed 25 minutes over something just totally nonsense, John, it's not good enough. It makes the league look amateur, and it was just crazy, and it adds to this whole relegation story, but it certainly wasn't a positive, and it's not something that either set of fans will look back on fondly, but I'm sure they'll have a laugh about it in years to come, as long as Galway aren't decided to go down this season.
Well, it's a ridiculous decision, really, isn't it, Kieran? I mean, that's about the best we can say on it. But anyway, look, when the match finally got going, Galway started off the better of the two teams. Houlihan had a strike saved, and they thought they'd scored early on, did Galway, from a corner, but it was ruled out offside by your friend Mr. Buttermer there, Kieran.
He might have got that one right, John, but there was some decisions later on in the game. I'm sure you're going to bring us through them now in a moment. There was some very erratic decisions, and for me, Anthony Buttermer, he shouldn't be anywhere. He has form, you know. He just seems to always be in the headlines down the years. For me, he shouldn't be refereeing in the Premier Division. For me, he's not good enough to be refereeing kids' football. Like, we've seen games down the years, my mind goes back instantly to the infamous cup semi-final between Drogheda and Dundalk, where Dundalk, you know, Stephen Kenny came out during those annoying mid-match interviews and he said, "We're considering taking the lads off the field here because we're just being absolutely done out there." And I remember being down in Cove for a game involving Longford Town, and there's actually online footage of this where a Cove player basically just falls to the floor in the penalty area. I don't think any Cove players even appealed, and Anthony Buttermer blew his whistle and gave a penalty kick, and that had a huge impact in Longford Town's 2013 season. So for me, Anthony Buttermer shouldn't be given these high profile games. This was way too big of a game for Galway, and you know, the decisions speak for themselves.
Kieran, do you not rate him then?
Go on, take us through what happened, John.
Okay, so, well, look, Ogbeni went down very, very easily for the first penalty here for Limerick. Dive, Kieran?
Dive. I don't like the word simulation, John. This was a dive, plain and simple.
Yeah. Look, Rodrigo Tosi stepped up, took the penalty, 1-0. Ogbeni then doubled the lead for Limerick, 2-0. And for all intents and purposes, this was Galway down and relegated. But to be fair, they came back into it. They had a great penalty shout early on for handball that was waved away. But finally, Ronan Murray pulled one back 2-1. And Galway had another chance from a penalty, which was saved by Freddie Hall from Ronan Murray. But Freddie Hall then inexplicably took out Murray.
Kieran. A reenactment of the Schumacher there, I think, John.
Yeah, it was like something you'd see in a WWF fight, Kieran. But he came out and absolutely flattened Murray. How Murray got back up, I'm not too sure, because it was a huge
Should he have been sent off, in your opinion, John, well, or was a yellow card enough?
I think it was somewhere in between, maybe, but it was bad enough that he could have accepted a red, Kieran, to be honest. McCormack did the rest with the penalty. 2-2, Galway fight another day.
Yeah, and speaking of teams that are fighting another day, Sligo's 3-0 win at home to Derry in absolutely horrendous conditions, thanks to Storm Brian. Even Storm Brian was to have a little role in this relegation battle. John, it's been that exciting all season. But yeah, a 3-0 win for Sligo, and they will only need a point now in Hunky Dory Park to secure their safety for next season.
Yeah, it was pretty straightforward, this one, Kieran. And what you say, horrendous weather conditions, certainly in the first half. Rhys McCabe scoring direct from a corner to take the 1-0 advantage for Sligo. He's been a great signing for them, hasn't he?
Yeah, and we've seen from Soccer Republic, Jared Little's post-match comments where he said he had a different plan altogether laid out, and then they got to the ground and they seen how bad the conditions were and how strong that wind was, and he made a few changes to the team, and obviously going for a more direct approach, and that paid off with McCabe's goal going straight in from the corner flag.
Yeah, Derry's defensive frailties, as we've talked about quite a bit earlier in the season, came back to haunt them again as Doherty spilled a shot and Fatty was there to tip in 2-0. So
I wouldn't be too harsh on Doherty, John, to be honest with you. As I said, the conditions, swirling wind, the ball was moving in front of him. I wouldn't be overly harsh on the Derry keeper there.
Should have saved it, Kevin.
Okay.
Look, and then some. Well, you can't not deny that this was some absolute suicidal defending, tapping around at the back, give the ball away. 3-0, game over. Sligo done themselves a power of good there with that victory.
Yeah, most certainly, John. And they will be hot favourites to get at least a point against already relegated and bottom side Drogheda on Friday night. But moving on, it was a first defeat in 9 for Dundalk as they lost at home 1-0 to Bohemians. A wonder goal from Mr. Akinade.
Absolutely, yeah. Power driver from Akinade. Look, both started well. Dinny Corcoran had an effort saved. The other side, Jamie McGrath, a pop from distance that nearly resulted in a goal for Dundalk. They thought they'd scored after that. Shane Supple, uncharacteristically making a mistake, and McMillan thought he'd scored, but that was ruled offside. And then after that, that was Akinade's power driver, as we say. It was it's almost like a shot out of anger. He just blasted it, and you know, maybe it could have done better in goals, but look, that was the one goal that made the match. Bowes had chances to make it 2-0. A great point blank save from Dinny Corcoran, but Dundalk had a huge penalty shout near the end. That wasn't given. Finished 1-0 to Bowes.
Yeah, and you mentioned Corcoran there and Akinade. They caused absolute mayhem for Dundalk again on Friday night at Oriel Park. The conditions again in this game, like most of the games, the breeze was horrendous, and Bowes, to their credit, used that to their advantage brilliantly. The balls over the top just seemed to be landing at the feet of Corcoran and Akinade every time, and as you mentioned there, Rogers had to make a point blank save from Corcoran to stop them doubling their lead. But John, just want to speak quickly on the job Keith Long has done at Bohemians this season. Surely manager of the year contender. It's been an amazing job on a shoestring budget.
Well, look, they're one of the few part-time teams in that league. And you look at the other part-time teams, most of them are relegated or nearly relegated. So it just goes to show what a magnificent effort it has. And those two strikers that they've got there, if they can get them fit for the full season next season, there's no reason that Keith Long can't take Bowes into a European position.
I think keeping them is going to be the bigger job, John, to be honest with you. I know there's already talks in the media linking Akinade with a potential move to the Champions, Cork City. It'd be an amazing signing for Cork City. We've spoke about their need to replace Sean Maguire, and what a way that would be to do it. He's a real target man. He has pace and he finishes well. But injuries have been a problem for him in recent seasons, so I'm sure that's something John Caulfield, if he was to make a move for Izzy Akinade, it's something he'd have to take into consideration. And Cork City announcing this week as well, a huge boost for their transfer abilities, I suppose, with the 52-week contracts now coming in at the club. So that's going to be a major influence in the transfer market over the off-season, I feel. But yeah, once again, a fantastic job from Keith Long. And Bowes have tied down a couple of players today for next season already, including Shane Supple. And we'll speak about that a little later on when we run through the latest transfer updates.
Yeah, moving on, Kieran. we're talking about we're on about the bad weather there, but horrendous weather and conditions at Bray against Shamrock Rovers there, Kieran.
Bit of a throwback, John, the footage from this one, the big muddy pitch and the windy conditions. It was like an old turned around cup game or something.
Yeah, it was it was really, really bad conditions. Certainly first half was awful, you know, and didn't do the pitch any favours. Rovers started on top. They were unlucky, bad injury to Gary Shaw. Gary Shaw had to go off.
Yeah, you know, suffered quite a serious injury. I believe could be a broken arm from what I'm hearing. And that's obviously going to rule him out for quite a number of months. And hopefully he can get himself back fit for the start of next season. I know we've spoken a couple of times on the show this season about what a revelation Shaw has been for Rovers this season. You know, he came from Longford Town. It's not a move you see too often, players coming from, I hate to call my own club a small club, but we're certainly not on the same level as Shamrock Rovers.
And let's face it, he didn't have goal pedigree at Longford neither.
No, sure. He went 30 games at one stage in the 2015 season for Longford without scoring. So then to go to a club that's playing European football, he got a goal in one of those European ties as well this season. Yeah. And he just, as I said on a previous show here, he's a real out-and-out target man. And Shamrock Rovers use him brilliantly for that role. Whenever he's not playing, they seem to just to be missing that target man up front. So it'll be a blow for Rovers to lose him through injury. But I suppose this is the time, if you're going to get injured, to get injured. And hopefully a good, swift recovery over the off-season for Gary.
Yeah, and to me, Kieran, that just shows the difference between part-time and full-time training and development for the likes of Gary Shaw. Yeah. A young player, you know, was maybe struggling a bit at Longford Town. Rovers have taken a punt on him, and he's doing a lot better there, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's actually linked with a move away to Scotland at the moment, so maybe Rovers mightn't even have him there for next season. But a great season for Gary Shaw, no doubt. But if you want to just continue to run through that game, John.
Well, Rovers were dominant that match, but it was Bray that took the lead with an Aaron Gray absolute belter to make them 1-0. Look, another red. We've talked about it before for Shamrock Rovers.
10th red card this season for Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, Trevor Clark this time. Not good enough. That's something they're going to have to work on for next season, Kieran.
Yeah, and just on the goal scorer, Aaron Green there, he's another man that's linked with Shamrock Rovers. He's linked with Cork City. He's linked with Dundalk. So probably the hottest property in the league over the off-season, I'd imagine. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But moving on, John, to the final fixture, which was already relegated Finn Harps against already and long relegated Drogheda United. And surprisingly, it was the Drogs that came out 3-2 winners in this one.
Yeah, 3-2. And this seemed to be a game with lots of long-distance goals, chips and lobs over the
I think the weather conditions, once again, they're playing a role in that.
Yeah, but it was Harps scored twice through a man we had on the show actually a few weeks ago there, Keelan McAleer. He looks a decent player.
Yeah, he's another one that's definitely going to be in the shop window now with Harps going down. You obviously imagine Paddy McCourt will be another one. But he looks to be a player with great potential. A real out-and-out old-fashioned winger. Just gets at players, puts plenty of crosses into the box, and he's starting to add a few goals to his game too.
I think there'll be a few suitors for McAleer in the close season there, Kieran. I can't see him staying at Harps and playing in the first division next season. I think he's coming into his own, and there'll be a few suitors for him.
Yeah, but we're going to bring you our second interview now of the night, and it is Drogheda United goalkeeping coach Chris Bennion.
So I'm delighted to be joined on this week's show by current Drogheda United goalkeeping coach and, of course, a former Longford Town man, Dundalk, Shelburne and many other clubs too. It's one of the most popular goalkeepers in recent years in League of Ireland. It's Chris Bennion. Chris, thanks for joining us. So, Chris, unfortunately, we have you under, I suppose, sad circumstances for Drogheda United. You're one of the clubs that have fallen out the trapdoor and will play in the First Division next year. But on a brighter note, a first win in 22 last night, a couple of new young players in the squad. I suppose you must be delighted to try and end the season on a bit of a high.
Yeah, it's important to the second grade. It's especially younger lads and the squad all year, so like I say, it's been disappointing, I suppose, all year, but it's been a good learning curve for the young lads. I said there were about three teenagers in the squad last night, and it was good to see young Stephen scoring his league debut and scoring his goal there. So as I say, it's hard to find some positives when you're being relegated, but as I say, it's good to finish on a high note, and hopefully we can continue that on Friday.
Yeah, of course, you can play, the role of party poopers on Friday. Everyone's expecting Sligo to come up and get the job done and get the points they need to secure safety, but I'm sure you guys will want to have a big say in that.
Well, to be honest, we have to concentrate on ourselves on Friday, and I'm sure Pete and John will be putting a squad out to go Monday match, like we do on every game. But I just, I'm relegated or who wins the league. To be perfectly honest, we're more concerned about trying to get 3 points on Friday, and just finishing the season with 2 wins would be something to take forward to next season. With especially a young lad, it's good to get that winning mentality straight away. So hopefully we can pick up 3 points, and if that means relegating Sligo or whoever, then that's unfortunately their concern and not my department.
So from a personal point of view, Chris, this is your second job in a goalkeeping capacity, coaching wise. You were with Athlone previously and now with Drogheda. How have you found the experience so far? I'm sure you're bitterly disappointed to be, obviously a goalkeeping coach doesn't play a huge role in maybe the tactical aspect of the team, but obviously you'll be disappointed to be part of a team that is going down in what was only your second job.
Yeah, of course, it's not nice. It's the first time I've had to put relegation on my TV, I suppose. So it's not nice, as I said, the whole capacity of the whole team and the whole squad, the whole club and town are affected by it. So it's not been nice. It's been a hard season. I think when you are not winning games, it's sometimes can be frustrating. You question yourself as a coach, you're questioning every aspect of your training session, etc. Are you doing it right? Are you actually getting across? So it's been tough. But again, it's a learning book for me. As I said, when I was at Longford, I was doing player coaching. As I said, it's been probably more difficult, the transition from playing to coaching, than I thought. As I said, there's a lot more time consuming, to be honest, with coaching rather than playing. But I'd say I have enjoyed every minute, and you still miss that little bit of the bug when playing. I said that won't be replaced. But I suppose coaching is the next best thing, I suppose, in getting that buzz and getting that enjoyment from being involved with the ball.
Yeah, and of course, Chris, you're a man with great first division experience, having won the second tier twice, first with Dundalk and then most recently in 2014 with Longford. So perhaps if you do stay with Drogheda next season, will you be looking to bring that experience to what is at the moment a very young group and using that to Drogheda's advantage?
I think we'll all be looking for a bounce straight back up. Again, it's going to be very competitive next year. You only need to look at the teams that are remaining in the first division. As I say, Longford, UCD, Cove, the three teams coming down, Shelbourne, it's going to be extremely hard. You've got Cavan Teal who are looking to progress. I can't see it being a one-horse race next year, so it's going to be extremely difficult. But you have to go into the season with an aim of promotion. If you don't, then, as I said, not going to be me personally in the game, but other people might have different aspects and aims, I suppose, for next season. But I think that's what the club could be looking for. And if we can keep the majority of the players we want to keep, then, as I say, that it should be competitive and bright for the future of the club next year, hopefully.
Yeah, and as we've said, Chris, obviously hugely disappointing to go down this season in your role as goalkeeping coach. But I think a lot of people who've watched Drogheda this season will say one of the few bright lights has been young Stephen McGuinness between the sticks. And obviously it's your job to prepare him week in, week out. So you must be delighted with Stephen's form. And obviously he's a player that Pete Matton spoke about building the team around next season. And I'm sure you'll be desperate to hold on to him.
I would say that the club is in. The club, to be honest with you, next year, we've got the game on Friday. Regarding myself and other coaches, we're probably, like I said, going to go on holiday, have a think what's going to happen, deal with when we come back. But the club would have to hold on to Stephen. The progress that Stephen's made over the last 2 years I've had him is unbelievable. I rate him as one of the best keepers in the league.
Chris, it's been a pleasure having you on. Commiserations on the relegation, but obviously better luck next season, and thanks for joining us, and very best of luck.
No problem at all. Thanks so much.
Tonight's episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast is sponsored by Flomax Industrial Equipment. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Okay, Kieran, so what we're going to do now is we're going to look ahead to the fixtures this weekend. It's D-Day, isn't it, in the League of Ireland? First one we're going to kick off with Galway's must-win match against Dundalk.
Yeah, so for me, John, everyone is speaking about this game as a real chance for Galway to get the win they need to be in with a chance. Obviously, they have to consider that St. Pat's could get a point away to Derry, or Sligo, you'd imagine, will get their point away to Drogheda, and that would be curtains for Galway no matter what happens here at M&DC Park. But looking at a little bit deeper, Galway, their big problem this season has been clean sheets. They've only kept one all season, and that came on the 8th of May in a nil-nil draw at home to Derry City. And on the flip side of that, Dundalk, apart from their last league game, which was obviously that 1-0 defeat to Bohemians in what was really a meaningless game, the last time Dundalk failed to score in a league game was against Shamrock Rovers at home on the 23rd of July. So you have one team that's scoring goals, one team that's not keeping clean sheets. that doesn't spell good for Galway in a game that they have to win. They're also, for Galway, the joint highest draw record in the league. They have 14 draws this season. That's not going to be enough on Friday night. So really, the stats do point to Dundalk for this one. But as we were saying, Dundalk have the cup final next week. There's a couple of injuries in the team. They'll be looking to maybe blood a few young players. But then again, on the flip side, there's going to be players looking to play their way into that cup final starting 11. So it really could go either way. I'm not going to make a prediction on it, but what I am going to do for you now, ladies and gentlemen, Julian Canny, we interviewed him earlier on, a Galway United fan. He's been ultra optimistic all season that the Tribesmen would stay up. Just listen to this. He's a little bit more nervous today, folks. So he's been one of the more optimistic views on the podcast this season. And finally, Julian Canny joins us here for the third time. Julian, you're a Galway United fan. You're optimistic that you're going to stay up. Am I right in saying that?
Well, I don't know now, Kieran. I think all season I've been pretty optimistic, but it's totally out of our hands now. And I don't know, like you kind of look at the other two teams who were in danger and they've kind of found a bit of form. I suppose no more than ourselves, but it looks like we just kind of gave ourselves too much to do. And like, even if we do get the result against Dundalk, I think both Pats and Sligo are probably going to get the point they need in their respective games. So yeah, I'm a bit more subdued now, a bit more pessimistic, I think.
You sound like a man. The nerves have gotten to you, Julian. But let's just focus on this game, Galway and Dundalk, and the main points from that. So obviously Galway must win to stand any chance of survival. You've beaten Dundalk at home this season and last season, so there's some form there. Scoring a lot of late goals, which I feel is going to be a huge player this Friday. I think there's going to be late goals all over the place this weekend. It's been that sort of season. Galway in good form. They're unbeaten in six. Four of those have been draws. Obviously, that won't be good enough on Friday. And speaking of draws, you have the highest joint highest amount in the league with Sligo, 14 draws this season. So I suppose that's not a great start ahead of this weekend.
Yeah, it's funny actually. I was just looking at the league table before I came on, and there are actually six teams who've lost more games than us as well. Mm. So it's like kind of on that we could be doing a hell of a lot better. But yeah, like the last few games, obviously we missed a penalty, the death and Bray, and then like in Limerick there was another missed penalty when we were 2-1 down, and we probably should have got a penalty at the death there as well in the 93rd minute, but it wasn't to be. So like, I don't know, you could kind of point to those, but it probably really is earlier in the season. I think it took us 11 games to finally win a game, which was actually funny
against
enough
Dundalk,
it was Dundalk. So yeah, I think we're probably good enough to beat Dundalk. It obviously depends on how they approach the game. It is the week before the cup final. They've kind of probably not been at it the last few weeks. Like, even they got beat by Bowes the week before, they kind of struggled to 1-0 home win against Bray. So I don't know, I suppose like the way fixtures have fallen, like last week Pats got kind of lucky with the way Cork were going. They just won the league, so like I suppose this is kind of, it's coming to our favour now that we've kind of got Dundalk probably at a good time. They might be 100%, and to be honest, I wouldn't be too worried about us. That I think we're probably good enough, and you could see like from the performance they gave in the second half in particular against Limerick, when somehow we found ourselves 2-0 down, which is pretty unbelievable given how we dominated that first half. And the players like put it all in and gave everything, and I'm sure they'll be the same on Friday. But it's just kind of relying on either Derry or Drogheda to beat their opponents. Like, Drogheda, to be fair, now they got a win on Monday night and they haven't been playing that badly, but I think Sligo have kind of picked up their games recently. But from our point of view, yeah, I think, as you say, like probably a lot of draws this season, and it's just maybe kind of having that bit of a killer instinct or something to finish teams off. And probably did mention it earlier in the season, like we've only had one clean sheet in the league all season as well, which is like, that is kind of a bit of a worry. It's we had a nil all draw at home to Derry, and that's it. Every other game have conceded a goal at least. So it's kind of come down to the crunch now, and we have to do the business, but that's it, relying on another team as well. So that's kind of the hard part, because obviously it's going to affect the crowd. There'll be a bit of nervousness about it. Like, I suppose from the players, it's kind of easy. They have to go out on the pitch and they have to win, and if they don't, that's it. But we'll kind of be checking our phones and seeing how it's going on elsewhere. But
Yeah, and Julian, I suppose you mentioned it there, that the fact Pat's, you know, I suppose got lucky last week with the way the fixture fell against Cork, and now it's Galway's turn to maybe capitalise on that, and that's the one thing a lot of people are looking at in Galway's favour. But when you go deeper and look at the stats, the one thing that really worries me for Galway this weekend, their last Premier Division clean sheet was the 8th of May, and on the flip side of that, Dundalk, apart from the last game against Bowes when they lost 1-0 last week at Oriel Park, the last time they failed to score in a league game was the 23rd of July when they also lost 1-0 at home against Shamrock Rovers. So there's one side that's scoring goals, there's one side that's not keeping clean sheets. It doesn't look good for Galway.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Like, I think if we're going to win, it's not going to be a 1-0. I think, yeah, you're probably going to be looking at us scoring two or maybe even three goals to get the 3 4. yeah, exactly. Yeah, we lost 5-4 against Wexford last season with Shane Geek was in charge. So yeah, it could be another crazy one like that. But yeah, like, I suppose one thing now, like, when I was kind of looking at this fixture a few weeks ago, you're kind of saying, well, we were always going to need some results. We weren't going to be safe on the last day. And so kind of looking at Dave McMillan getting close to Sean Maguire, but I think he's still four off.
He's still four off him, yeah.
So realistically, he's probably not going to catch him. Like, if he was maybe one or two off, they could have been going all out for him to get that. But yeah, okay, our defence hasn't been great, but I don't think he'll be getting five goals against us now. But actually, like, that, I suppose to be fair, that is one thing. Like, we've only the one clean sheet, but I think it's only two games we've conceded more than two goals. I think down in Turner's Cross and in Tallaght in one of the games. So, like, aside from that, like, it's always been one or two goals we've conceded. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, yeah, it could be like a 2-1 or a 3-2 to us. But, yeah, it's, as I say, it's kind of still relying on someone else doing us a favour. But
Julian, now, just thinking about this Dundalk match, you know, the fact that it's the week before the cup final could be a bit of a red herring because, you know, even if Stephen Kenny plays at a fringe side, you know, they're all basically playing for a place in that cup final, so they'll all want to give decent performances. So you know, it's just another reason that I think it could be a struggle for you at the weekend.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And like, it is 9 days before the cup final. It's not as if it's like 3 days later, so it's going to be resting everyone and people not wanting an injury. Like, he's not really going to want to go into the cup final on the back of two defeats, because you kind of look at the way Cork have finished the league and everyone's kind of looking at the cup final. Dundalk until last week were in a great run, really, and like, they'll kind of want to get that momentum back and go into the cup final on the back of a win. So like, I certainly don't think it's a case of them turning up and we're going to beat them easily, but I suppose there is just that element of kind of who really needs it more. Like, you know, all our players are just going to leave everything out on the pitch, and like, there certainly hasn't been any question this season that our players haven't been given the effort. There's a great team spirit there and everything, and yeah, like, I don't know, it's subconsciously you might find some of the Dundalk players kind of half pulling out of tackles and everything, and when they kind of come up against a guy who's given everything, and you wouldn't know. It's and certainly, like, if they were going for the league now, if Cork had completely blown it, that and Dundalk had the league on the line here, I wouldn't give us much of a hope. But yeah, I don't know. I feel our lads will go out. As you were saying, we've beaten Dundalk at home the last couple of seasons, so there's no reason why we can't do it again on Friday. But
and Julian, one man who's probably holding all your hopes is that man Ronan Murray, who's had a very impressive second half of the season. So hopefully he can have a big match, and you know, he's already going to be in the shop window for next season. So,
yeah.
But you need him to have a massive match this weekend.
That's absolutely, and like, you know, like, it's kind of harsh to say, like, he's the guy who missed the penalty in Bray and in Limerick last week. But to be fair to me, he has been excellent all season. And as you say, like, I mean, I think that's kind of one of the big concerns about us, that if we do get relegated, like, there's no chance he's playing first division. Same with Rory Hale and quite a few others. Like, imagine Stephen Folan's going to be leaving. So we're kind of doing a bit of a rebuilding job again. And like, there is the feeling there that even though we are where we are in the relegation battle, that this is kind of one of the best teams I've seen probably in about I don't know, nearly 20 years for Galway United. And if we do stay up and can hold on to some of these players, it will be a battle to hold on to Murray, even if we do stay up. But he's definitely not going to be with us in the first division. So whatever chance, if we stay up, with something to build on, and we could certainly be aiming a top half next season if we can kind of keep this group together and build on that. But that's it. Yeah, there'll be a lot of pressure on him. There'll be Stephen Folan, obviously a Galway lad, and he'll kind of be giving everything, the captain as well, Colin Morgan. And yeah, Rory Hale's come in as well. He's done really well. Like, I mean, everyone seems to be playing well, and it's just unfortunate that apart from Finn Harps, none of the other teams just hit a sticky patch. Everyone around the bottom is just picking up points, finding their best form of the season around now. And like that, if it was a 12-team league and we were going into playoff, I don't think anyone would be concerned about us beating Cove in a playoff. But yeah, it is what it is, and I don't know, we just have to get the win on Friday.
It's interesting, Julian, that you should say this is one of the best Galway teams you've seen in 20 years, and having seen bits of them this year, their style of football is very impressive, and that's something Shane Keegan's always been credited with. But for one of the better teams that you've seen at AM&DC in the last few years, would you agree that they're underachieving, and is there going to be pressure on Shane Keegan if he can't keep this side up on Friday night?
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair point. Like, I think really, like I kind of mentioned it before, I think it was really the start of the season that killed us, that taking 11 games to get the win. And like, I always felt we were a good bit better than Harps and Drogheda. And then you were kind of looking for another team that we could finish above. And that was it. You're giving like the likes of Pats, Sligo, Bowes as well, like they were likely to be down there, even Bray, and you were kind of giving them like a 7-8 point head start nearly from like the start of the second series. And yeah, it's just, we just haven't quite been able to make it up. So yeah, well, like I'm happy with Shane Keegan, but certainly there'll be others who kind of look at it and say, right, that's 2 years in a row he's got relegated with clubs in the Premier. Like I think, personally speaking, from Wexford, like to even get them into a playoff last season was excellent. They were on such a small budget that I think everyone expected them to finish bottom. But like the positive side for him is if you look at the players that he's brought into Galway, you couldn't really question any of them. Like Ronan Murray's come in, Lee Grace obviously brought, he's since moved on, and Rory Hale, like, he's picked up, and I'm not really sure any other clubs were looking at Rory Hale, but he's proved to be an excellent signing for us as well. And so with that in mind, like, you kind of can spot a player. Like, if we will be doing a bit of a rebuilding job next year for sure, and like, I'd like to see him on, but there probably will be others who'll kind of be saying, well, that's 2 years in a row, we've been too open all season, that when we kind of got down to the nitty gritty, you should have been kind of playing for 1-0 wins, get ahead and just shut up shop. Whereas I suppose the thing is, you can see from the goals we conceded, we do give up chances. Like, we create plenty of chances. Maybe that's why I enjoy watching us, because our games are pretty exciting anyway. There's no question about that. But it's like, I'd definitely be happy for him to stay on, and I hope he will. But I don't know. That remains to be seen. But hopefully we don't have to make that decision. And yeah, Friday night at 10 o'clock, we're celebrating.
So you've been insightful as ever, Julian. We've ran over time, as we seem to always do. Just so much talk about Galway United. But I'm going to leave the final word with you. One word answer: Galway United in the Premier next season, yes or no?
I'd love to be...
One word answer, Julian.
One word answer, unfortunately not, no. We'll be seeing you in the first division next year, I think.
Well, after all these podcast appearances, we surely, getting tongue-tied here, we owe you a point or two at this stage, Julian. So, best wishes for Friday. Hopefully you're wrong, and we'll speak to you next season one way or another.
All right. Thanks for having me on all the times anyway, lads. So, best of luck.
Thanks, Julian. Best of luck.
Cheers, Julian. So, Kieran, I think Julian sounded like he'd almost given up the ghost. I still think there's a little hope for them, but of course it all depends on this fixture as well, where Pats go to Derry, Kieran.
Yeah, and I think if we're going to see a surprise result and something to go in Galway's favour, I think this could be the game where we see it. St. Pat's going to Buncrana. They have some good head-to-head record, though, this season. They beat Derry 2-1 in their most recent league meeting and secured a 2-2 draw back in April. But Derry City seem to bounce back well this season anytime they've had a heavy defeat. I think back to that 5-0 defeat quite recently against Bray, and they went on to be undefeated in their next three after that. So Derry are going to be looking to come back after what was a very, very disappointing performance against Sligo Rovers in the Showgrounds. And it'd be, I suppose, considered a small bit of a local derby, so they will want to give their home fans, and it'll be obviously the last game in Boncrana, returning to the Brandywell next season, so they'll want to send the supporters home happy. And the home form has been quite good this season, with 9 wins out of 16 home games. Could I push you for a prediction on this one, John?
Well, I think Pats might get something, because I'm still concerned about that Derry defence. They're just capable of an absolute howler or two there, Kieran. And Pats front line are good. They've, you know, Curtis Byrne in form. Yeah, I think Pats will do enough to get at least a point.
Would the fact they only have 2 wins away from home all season worry you?
No, because it's the chance to improve that stat, Kieran.
I like that one, John. So we'll move on to the next fixture.
Yeah, well, this is the other big one at the bottom. It's already relegated Drogheda against Sligo.
Yeah, so as I said, Drogheda with their first win in 22 league games, amazingly, at the midweek against Finn Harps. So that's obviously going to give them a little bit of a boost going into this one. And similarly to Derry, they'll be eager to end their season, send the fans home happy. They obviously could play the role of party poopers here, so I'm sure there's a little bit of motivation for Pete Matten and his side there. From a Sligo perspective, obviously a draw here will secure safety. Both meetings this season between Drogheda and Sligo have ended 1-1, so if that was to be the case again on Friday, Sligo Rovers would be confirmed as Premier Division team again next season. We spoke about Vinnie Faherty and Reece McCabe. They've been key signings for Sligo, and I'd expect them to play a key role here again on Friday night. But similarly to St. Pat's, they only have 2 away wins all season, John. There just seems to be that little element of doubt in every fixture you look at, where, you know, it just could go so wrong for Sligo and Pat's and Galway after such good runs towards the end of the season. It's incredible, really.
Just can't see anything going wrong for Sligo in this one. Drogheda, you've got to remember, they won against Harps. Harps were relegated. Awful conditions again, Kieran. I think for me, Sligo are going to have at least enough to get a point. And like you say, the likes of Reece McCabe, Vinifer, they've got the class to beat them.
So you think Sligo Rovers will be pretty okay on Friday, John, but we're going to get the Sligo perspective now and speak to a man who was on the show earlier this season. Sligo found themselves in quite a more difficult predicament at that stage of the season, but Shane Morrison joins us now to take a look ahead to that big game in Drogheda on Friday night. So we're joined now by a Sligo Rovers fan. It's his second appearance on the podcast this season. Shane Morrison, welcome back and thanks for joining us.
No problem, lads. How are you getting on?
So, Shane, when we had you on last, Sligo were in quite a bad position, but the form recently has been quite good, and you go into this final game only needing a draw against the bottom side to secure your safety. I imagine you're ultra confident at this stage.
50-50. There still could be a shake-up in the last eight games. We don't know what'll happen. But hopefully, with a point needing, we should be going for 3 points either way.
Yeah, and the 2 previous meetings this season have ended 1-1 between Drogheda and Sligo, so you have the pedigree of picking up the point required against Drogheda. So again, I imagine that boosts your confidence.
Oh, definitely. But knowing Drogheda too, they had a great win against Finn Harps, so they're full of confidence now coming into this game. They'll want to end on a high going down to the First Division.
Yeah,
so hopefully we might get them.
I suppose if you were going to pick a negative in the Sligo stats, Shane, it would be the fact that you've only won twice away from home all year. It's the joint worst away record in the league. So, obviously, Drogheda have had a terrible year, but it could go all wrong, yeah, for Sligo.
Oh, definitely, it could go all wrong. And I still think there's going to be a disaster of someone to go down. I still don't think, because I think Galway might get the win at Dundalk. I still think there'll be a shake-up there between us and Pats.
Yeah, well, at one stage, Shane, earlier in the season, it looked like Sligo were in deep trouble and looked destined for the drop. But I think probably the signings of McCabe and Faherty's probably helped turn things around.
Oh, definitely. McCabe's been nothing but sensational since coming in. And Faherty's come in with some important goals for us this season. And he's really work rate's gone up a lot since, I think, Cork City winning away to him. That really put a high on our spirits, and we really built on from there.
And I suppose it's a case of, you know, getting the points, staying up, and then hopefully being able to keep the likes of Reece McCabe for next season is going to be crucial, and then building around players like that.
That's it. It's just it's crucial now if we do stay up to keep players like him, Toby, even here like the likes of Fahati, a lot of players in that team that are being sought after. So hopefully if we do stay up, that we build a team and keep all these players that we need for next season and build.
Yeah, and if rumours are to believe, Shane, it seems to be Cork City once again that are chasing down the Sligo players. You mentioned Toby there. He's one of the players linked with a move to the Champions. It must be very frustrating to keep losing your best players to Cork City.
At one stage of the season, I was like thinking this is Sligo's second team here we're playing, because everyone that was here for Cork at one stage was playing with Sligo. I think there was an article up there the other day of how many players have gone from Sligo to Cork, and it's just shows you the incredible work that's gone, the amount of players that have gone from Sligo to Cork.
Yeah, and obviously Kieran Sadler is the biggest name of all those to move in recent times, and he's been a revelation since he's rocked up at Turner's Cross. Do you feel that was a poor decision from Sligo, or is it simply a case of having to balance the books and look after the finances? I know Shane Keegan of Galway has spoken about having to sell Lee Grace for the good of the club as much as he didn't want to do it. So is that the position Sligo found themselves in, or are Sligo a big enough club that they could have held on to Sadler and used his potential on the field to help them in this relegation battle?
I thought we could have kept him. I didn't see any reason to sell him, because I don't think financially we were poor, or financially we needed the money. Because we were getting good crowds in every week. Even with the relegation, we're still getting good crowds in. And with...
And seems to be some great fundraising efforts at the moment as well, Shane.
Oh, doing mighty work there, and there's a great crowd there. Like even against Derry City there at the weekend, when it was a disastrous even, rain, wind, everything, there was still 2,000 out. So that shows you the community Sligo has for football.
Yeah, and going forward, Shane, obviously Sligo found themselves in this position over the last couple of years, and it's not something we associate Sligo Rovers with. We always link Sligo winning leagues, winning cups, playing in Europe. So the club seems to have just lost their way in recent years. Obviously, there's been a huge amount of investment into the showgrounds, and for me, it's one of the finest facilities, not just the stadium itself, but obviously there's the AstroTurf there, and it's a great hub of the community. But I'm sure Sligo fans are eager to see the team back up in the higher reaches of the table again. So if Sligo can secure their safety this weekend, I'm sure a lot of questions are going to be asked about how Sligo can go about business next year.
That's it. Do we keep Little, or do we move on and get someone else in that knows the league? And
well, what's your view on that, Shane? Would you be in favour of Little staying on next season? Has he done enough for you?
I'm 50-50, but he's done, if he does what he was told to do when he came in and keeps us up, I can't see any reason why we should get rid of him. So like, I still, if we stay up, he'll be there next season, I think.
Yeah, so we'll just get your final prediction. Final word goes to you, Shane. Sligo Drogheda, give us your match score.
I'm going to go with Sligo winning this 3-1.
I thought you were only 50-50. That's very confident for a man that was only 50-50, Shane.
I was, but I still think Sligo, like you're showing against Derek last day, we only scored 3 goals, but it could have been a lot more. We just wasted a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, and who do you feel will be the team to fall out the trap door? Will it be Galway or will it be Pats?
I think Galway will beat Dundalk. I think Pats might just go down. I don't want to see it, but I just think there's going to be a twist in it somewhere.
Yeah, it's not an easy place to go, Buncrana, and that's why I know it was a home game for Sligo recently against Derry, but obviously the conditions were horrific. But a 3-0 win, it was a huge boost to Jared Little's side, and we seen the celebrations after the game. It was almost like Sligo had secured their safety. It's almost like they felt that was the result that they look back on at the end of the season.
That's it, but we still need to go to Drogheda and get something out of the game. Like, I was still shaking my boots thinking we could still go down, so I thought it was a bit premature now to be jumping around and thinking we stayed up. I know the fans are happy and all that, but I still think to go to Drogheda and still go out with a full mindset that we have to go out and win this game.
Yeah, and I know Jared Little has spoken today in the newspapers about the dangers of thinking the job is done, so I'm sure there'll be a huge Sligo contingent there to roar the bit of red on.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be there myself, hopefully, and just if we get the point, or even get better and get to 3 points, I'll be delighted. Just try and stay in this league now with the main priority.
Yeah, well, Shane, it's been a pleasure having you on once again. Thanks for joining the podcast twice this season, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you still as a Premier team next year.
No bother, lads. Thank you.
Cheers, Shane.
Thanks, Shane. So, Kieran, the remaining fixtures, we're going to start with the champions. They have a home fixture against Bray.
Yeah, so I suppose you could call this really a meaningless fixture, John. Obviously, Cork City, they have a great head-to-head record against Bray this season. Three games, three wins, a 2-0 win and a 2-1 win in the league. And the most recent meeting came in the first round of the FAI Cup back in August, where Cork City ran out 1-0 winners. And obviously, the goal scorer on that occasion was none other than Sean Maguire. But just overall, Cork City winless in their last six Premier Division games, so they go into this in quite poor form really for champions. Defeats against Rovers, Limerick and Pats in that time. Only five goals in their six games in all competitions, so that does show the void that Sean Maguire has left. From a Bray perspective, a bad week again off the field. The players that were involved in that 5-0 friendly defeat, infamous 5-0 friendly defeat, I suppose we'll have to describe it now, as they were summoned to the FAI headquarters this week as the investigation into irregular betting patterns continues. On the field, they upped their game, I have to say, against Shamrock Rovers, John. It's something I mentioned last week, that it looks like a lot of these players aren't going to be at the club next season, regardless if they're on 1 or 2 year deals, and that they may up their game against the likes of Shamrock Rovers and Cork City, putting themselves in the shop window. We've certainly seen that with Aaron Green. He's going to be a hot property, scored a great goal. I'm sure he will be looking to do the same against Cork. 2 points clear of sixth place Bowes, so they'll want to hold on to that fifth place position, but I wouldn't really give them much hope of doing that. And for me, as I said, there's really not much to play for, so this could be quite a dull affair.
I think so, and I think Cork will edge it. Look, there's John Caulfield clearly knows there's a surgery to be done on that team for next season. He's going to want to have a look at some of the fringe players and see whether or not they're going to justify contracts for next season. So, look, I think Cork will have enough to see off Bray. But, look, they did do that smash and grab last week, but did Bray. But Cork for me, Kieran. Moving on. We have Shamrock Rovers against Limerick.
Yeah, so Rovers were the team on the end of that 1-0 defeat at the Carlisle grounds last week. A win here will secure third position in the league. So obviously Rovers have had a trophyless season. For me, not good enough for the investment put in there at Tala. So to finish third is a small consolation, I suppose. As I mentioned, Gary Shaw, key man, he's out injured. Trevor Clark also suspended, 10th red card of the season for Shamrock Rovers. Again, discipline really needs to improve there next year if they're to mount a serious title challenge of any sort. 2-0 win and 1-1 result against Limerick earlier this season, so head-to-head is in the Hoops' favour. And 9 wins at home out of 16 games, so that's the third joint best record in the league.
Yeah, I don't know whether to call them red card Rovers, to be honest, from now on, with the 10 reds they've got. Limerick, they've still got those two up front. Your man's Rodrigo Tosi, he's the penalty king, Kieran.
Yeah, 5 goals from the spot this season. He's been a great signing for Limerick. I'm sure they'll want to hold on to him, despite being one of the more veteran players in the league. Just on Neil McDonald's side, they're obviously safe. They can't climb the table, but they can secure a 7th position with a win here. For me, these are two clubs that have underachieved considering the investment. I think a lot of people seem to forget that Limerick have probably what is the 4th highest budget in the league, as far as I'm aware. So they had a good start under Martin Russell, but for one reason or another, the club decided he wasn't the man to take them forward. Neil McDonald's came in and he steadied the ship, but I don't think he's been a revelation at the same time. As you mentioned, Tosi's been a great signing out Benny, but they may struggle to keep a hold of him. We believe there's interest from England, but just form wise on Limerick are unbeaten in their last 5 in the Premier, so they'll go into this, I suppose, wanting to get a result. In Tala, it's always a good place if you can get a result, so I'd like to get a prediction for you, John.
Well, Rover's going to be a little bit depleted, no Shaw, no Clark, so I'm going to Limerick to get a point there. So Kieran, we're just going to round off the fixtures, the last one the weekend, Bows against already relegated Harps.
Yeah, so as we said, Keith Long, he's done an amazing job at Daly Mount Park this season, and a win would secure 5th place, although goal difference means Bray must lose against Cork, and obviously for Bows to get the win here against Harps for that to happen. 5 wins in their last 11, as we mentioned already on the show numerous times this season, John. Akinade and Corcoran, they terrorised Dundalk last time out, and I'm sure they'll look to play a big role in this game. On Harps, relegated even before that 3-2 defeat against Drogheda, with the fixture being called off, very unlucky, but I think Harps have accepted their fate for a couple of weeks now, unfortunately. Five away wins all season, which is actually the best away record in the bottom six. So they'll go into this game with some hope of rounding the season off on a positive note. And of course, they beat Bohemians 4-3 after extra time at Dalymount Park back in August in the FAI Cup. So something to take from that. You've mentioned McAleer. He's been crucial to them this season, and he scored a peach in that game coming off the bench, if I remember correctly. And I'm sure he'll be looking to put himself in the shop window. And they did also have a 2-1 Premier Division win back in July, but they lost 2-0 to Bowes back in April. So it's a tough one to call, John. I'm not going to ask you for a prediction on it, because we actually have Aidan Campbell from Finn Harps on now, and he's going to discuss the impact that relegation is likely to have on the Donegal club. And this is our interview recorded with him earlier on, so enjoy. So we're joined now on the line by Aidan Campbell. Aidan is the Commercial and Marketing Director at Finn Harps. Obviously, Harps have had a very tough week. They've been relegated to the First Division after what I have to say was a very great fight for them all year. Extremely unlucky, in my opinion, to go down. And I think it's fair to say that the three teams going down this season is what undone Harps. Aidan, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
So would you agree with my comments there, Aidan, that the three teams going down this season has been the undoing of Finn Harps?
Yeah, I think so, Kieran. In hindsight, when the decision was made at the start of the year that three teams would go down, we knew it was going to be very difficult, particularly for the part-time sides in there. And the way it's worked out that, you know, the teams with the smallest budgets and that are part-time are the two teams that come down. And I think we have to be fair to, you know, the players as well. It's difficult to compete against full-time athletes. When you're working during the day, you don't get the level of strength and conditioning and obviously the preparation for the big games that the full-time teams get. So it was always going to be a very difficult task, Kieran, and we did do very well for, you know, three quarters of the season. I just think in the end it caught up with us a bit, and a lot of people we spoke to within football over the last couple of years after we got promoted said, you know, the part-time status, your momentum earlier on in the season can get you through sheer, you know, determination, what have you. But as you get to the crunch part of the season, it gets harder, you know, because, and you'll see that in the way of injuries and maybe even suspensions as, the physical strength of full-time training begins to bear fruit. So it's a big ask. To ask, you know, part-time teams to come up into the division, because and next year it's obviously going to be difficult as well, because the majority are, I think all of the teams next year will be practically full-time, maybe not Bohemians, but I'll stand corrected there. So it was a big ask, Kieran. You're right, in a normal season now we would be looking forward to a playoff game with a big crowd. And you know that would be an opportunity for us to stay into the division, but it's not to be. And look, in the end, we can't have any complaints because we just lost too many games towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and I'm glad you've brought up the playoffs there, Aidan, because it's a discussion myself and John will be having later on in the show. There's talk next season that the league is going to start in February, and that the playoffs will be reintroduced. But as of yet, there's still no word on what form the playoffs will be, whether it'll be second against second in the First Division against second bottom in the Premier, or whether it'll go back to the old format of third playing second in the First Division and the winner of that playing a Premier Division team. Really, it's quite disgraceful that the FAI haven't laid this out yet. Teams like Finn Harps, Drogheda, they're going down into a division now, and they can't start really truly planning their budgets because they don't know how many playoff or promotion positions are going to be available.
Well, I think the clubs, to be honest, in all of this, Kieran, have to take a bit of the responsibility. The PCA is in its early years, and you know, the whole thing could have been done clearer, and I think the whole thing could have been made clearer to fans at the start of last year when all these discussions were taking place. Personally, and this is just a personal point of view, not just because we're a First Division team now, but I always felt that, you know, there shouldn't be a Premier Clubs Alliance. All the League of Ireland volunteers work very hard. We've all been in the same position as each other, raising money and trying to get all the administration and operational duties made. So I don't really believe in a PCA. There should be one organisation for all League of Ireland teams. Yeah. And that would make it, because teams go up and go down. And so I think the clubs have to take some responsibility in how all of this was handled. And it could have been more transparent last year. And, you know, we have to learn from the future now. And, I, you know, for me, as you travel around the country and you always get to know there's a relatively small community running the leagues within this country. And it's only by working together off the pitch, whatever happens on the pitch, off the pitch, everybody should work together. And we do, and most clubs do, off the pitch, have a good relationship. So I think it's for us to be just that little bit clearer how we go about these things. Certainly all I can say is that I think the excitement of the playoffs is a good thing. I think that, yeah. So keeping second against third, that means you've got a few more teams who can get third. They've got something to play for then right up till the end of the season. So it makes it more exciting. For everybody, it gives support. It gives clubs and you know, players and managers something to aim for. It gives more teams something to aim for towards the end of the season. So, I certainly would be, you know, very much in favour of the second playing third, and then you play off against the second bottom in the Premier.
Yeah, and obviously with the playoffs, it's always the golden carrot for First Division teams, as you mentioned. It's something to play for, and it's always when we see the big crowds come out, and it's a great boost financially for clubs, whether they make it to the Premier Division or not. But just on finances, how is relegation likely to affect Finn Harps off the field?
I think what happens is, if you look at it, the cost of the Premier are obviously bigger. And I'll just take one example, guards and security, because of away supporters. Because there's not that much away support within the First Division, as you know, and you would have larger sets of travelling supporters, obviously, in the Premier. And then you've got to take, obviously, affiliation fees, insurance actually goes up, stuff like that. So it's it will take a bit of a, you know, the costs are not as big in the First Division, and you obviously don't go with most teams that would be in the First Division would have a smaller budget and would be mostly based on expenses. But the opportunities for sponsorship are obviously a little bit lower, because you don't have the obviously the television coverage and that type of thing. So so we have to assess now and sit down once we establish, once the board meets and decide on what the management setup is going to be for next year. Then we go through the process of looking at, you know, what is the project for next year, what are we aiming for, and you have to put a budget in there. So again, then you have to put down your fundraising schedule for the year, and that obviously fits in with licensing criteria. And the licensing is, you know, a lot of people give out about it, but it actually does give you a good template at running a football club. And so, you know, I think financially, the crowds, you won't get the away crowds, but that's offset by some of the costs associated as well, Kieran. So there hasn't been a huge boost in our crowds for various different reasons. You know, we find that the big games, obviously against Derry City and Sligo Rovers, will pay dividends. But we've been just particularly unlucky this year with kickoff times and that type of thing. So, so yeah, there will be less revenue, but there will be less costs. If you're asking me, I suppose the biggest thing and the biggest financial impact is you tend to, to be looking at probably a younger, some younger players in your squad, and probably a few more local players as well.
Aidan, it's John here. We've been talking, hopefully it's from that, it's probably a little bit cost neutral then going down, but we've been talking for quite a while about this new stadium with Finn Harps. Is there any updates on that, Aidan?
Yeah, we're currently engaged with the different partners on the project, John, which is the department and obviously the FEI, the local council, and we have a separate committee who deals with this, and they work away in the background, and you know, they're happy that everything that everything is on track for, you know, for hopefully making progress and getting some tangible announcements at least early next year. So is there an intention to continue working with the partners now and in the next, you know, by hopefully before or very soon after the season begins, we can start to give news to our supporters of some kind of definite timelines as to how the project's going to move forward. So, but we haven't got any definitive news as of yet. There is work going on in the background with those partners, and they're working through obviously all of the feasibility costs and the design and just the many other facets of building new ground. So that's really, John, I suppose, where our future is. We haven't really this season made the kind of increases in our home crowd that we would have hoped to have. I think everybody knows the club has huge potential, but if we're to be honest with ourselves, it is very hard to grow from a ground like Finn Park. It's very old ground. There's a limited number of seating. There's a lot of, I suppose, research done now, which we're getting from UK and European clubs, which is suggesting that, you know, when you get to younger kids, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of age, that's the age that you want to get them in, and they'd obviously be taken in by their mothers, and if the dads aren't around. And so for that family audience, you need to have a certain type of facility, and, you know, that really is the way you will grow the club, and we would see us growing the club in the future. So we're very optimistic, John. No, we're not at a point yet where we can make definitive announcements, but we see this as the long term, central to the long term strategy of the club.
That sounds pretty positive, Aidan. I suppose now from a playing perspective, it's all about trying to keep key players for next season, the likes of Paddy McCourt and Keelan McAleer.
To be honest, we'll get the last game out of the way first, John, is usually the way it happens, and then everybody kind of reassesses. I suppose, if I'm to be honest, we're licking our wounds a bit since, you know, it was a nice feeling. You know, we were, the last few weeks it looked like we were probably going to get we were going to get relegated, but until it happens, you don't give up, and everybody was working away. So we haven't really had time to sit down with anybody yet, and, you know, we'd be hopeful of putting together as good a squad as we can next year. So, but it would be wrong to say, you know, what our intentions over last year. Obviously, the first thing we have to decide, and as Ollie Horgan, our manager, said in the last few days, you know, the club has to sit down with Ollie yet. That hasn't happened, and so a decision has to be made on management team and that type of thing going forward, and then certainly, you know, we're going to start looking at the squad and budget and that kind of thing, and see where we're going to go from next year. And obviously then you're hoping to hold on to players who would have been regarded as your best players, but it would be wrong to comment on that at the moment because we obviously don't know that.
On that note, Aidan, we're going to leave it there. Thanks very, very much for joining us. Very interesting insight there. It's always great to get the inside view from clubs. It's always great to obviously hear from players and managers, but we don't get to hear from people involved in the run of the clubs too often. So we're always very grateful when people like yourself can join us.
No problem at all, Kieran. Anytime. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thanks, Aidan. Best of
luck. Thank you, Aidan. Now, Kieran, it's getting towards the end of season, so it's always silly season, and we're going to talk a little bit about some potential transfers that may go through at the end of the season. I think Talk Sport did it best when they call it the Karl-Heinz rumour monger.
Very good, yeah, very good. But, John, the season's not over yet. And usually you always see a couple of deals filtering through towards the end of the season. And obviously teams are eager to keep their fans excited going into the off-season, and there's always a deal or two announced, and so obviously new contracts on tables and all that. But I haven't seen this amount of big transfer. Obviously, it's only rumours, but there's quite a few here that look very, very like they're going to happen. and some big names here, so we're just going to run through them to start. Obviously, Ogbonna Limerick, he's linked with a move to England.
Kieran, he's got to be the hottest prospect in the league at the moment.
You're sure you're not his agent or anything? You've been linking him all season with a move away.
I just think the way he's gone about his business, he's said himself, he's putting himself in the shop window. He's not going to be in Limerick next season. He's going to be away, Kieran.
The man that could replace him, apparently, Barry McNamee, the midfield maestro, I call him, for Derry. For me, he's one of the finest midfielders in the league. He's been linked with a move to Limerick. That would be a huge blow to Derry City. I said on last week's show that if they're to challenge the upper teams of Dundalk and Cork in the coming years, they need to keep the players they have now and add little bits of quality here or there. That doesn't fit into it by letting McNamee go to Limerick.
Absolutely not. I can't see it happening, Kieran. I think he's... If Derry, like you say, if Derry are to challenge them top numbers, then they need to be keeping hold of him. You're dead right.
I'm always very cautious speaking about Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers transfer links, because it happens every season where the same sort of names. I know Brian Gartland was linked with a move there, but that's obviously not going to happen now. He signed a new 2-year deal, as has Chris Shields. Great business for Dundalk there. But there's a couple of other names linked, and one of them, and I have it on good authority that this is as good of a done deal, apparently Sean Gannon could be on his way back to Shamrock Rovers. What do you make of that, John?
Well, it fits in with the other rumour I've heard from the other way, Simon Madden going to Dundalk.
Right, well, I haven't heard that one, I have to say, but it would make sense for me. I don't see the right back position at Rovers isn't a problem position for the Hoops. Madden, often regarded as one of the finest attacking fullbacks in the league, and he's not one of these attacking fullbacks that's defensively awful. For me, he's quite solid. Yeah. And a good leader as well, so I don't understand why Rovers would be looking to land Sean Gannon. Obviously a fine player in his own right, but it's elsewhere in the Rovers squad that they need to strengthen, so that's a strange one for me.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I say, if they're getting Madden in replacement, then it makes some sense to me.
Mm. On Dundalk as well, Nico Vermeulen most certainly looks to be on his way back to his native Denmark. And after his performances in Europe, it's not hard to see why.
No, he's been very good this season, hasn't he, Kieran? So you can see why there'd be teams interested in him.
It's funny, actually, John, because we've spoken since Cork wrapped up their league title about the job John Caulfield's going to have to do next season to potentially rebuild that team. But a lot of the transfer speculation at the moment seems to be centering around Dundalk. We have Robbie Benson, Patrick McElhenney, and David McMillan all linked with clubs in Britain. So if even two of those three were to go, it would be a huge, huge dent to the team building that's going on at Dundalk at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, those three are probably three players that are critical to Dundalk, the way they play. So
I know St. Johnson is one of the clubs that's certainly linked with McMillan, and I believe it's Benson as well. Would you feel that would be a step down for these players? I know it's the top flight in Scotland, but I don't think you're ever really going to see them in Europe. They might get the odd cup run here and there, and obviously they'll get the big days out when they go to Ibrox and Celtic Park. But with Dundalk, they're in the shop window in Europe. We've seen McMillan linked with a move to Rosenborg previously due to his performances in Europe. And if they can keep this squad together, I know for a fact that Stephen Kenny has unfinished business in Europe. He feels this team is good enough to make a real tilt at the Champions League.
Kieran, the Scottish sides did worse than the Irish sides in Europe, apart from Celtic. Take Celtic out of the equation, the rest were appalling in Europe. That's not a positive move for those lads. So, plus Scottish football, I just think is just too one-centred around Celtic, and to me, they'd be better off staying put.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, John. Moving on to Cork City, Ryan Delaney obviously will go back to Burton Albion. It looks no surprise there. Only on loan this season, done a good job for Cork. Cam Shepherd to Dundalk, reading the reports, it's as good as done. The cup final against Dundalk could be his final game for the Rebels. Love to get your views on that one, John.
That'd be a big loss for Cork, Kieran. He's a player that always impresses me. I think his work rate's great, he's very skillful, and they'll miss him, but it's an ideal signing for Dundalk, Kieran.
Yeah, and what can you say, really, John? Only that it'd be a huge blow to Cork City, and they may find it hard to replace him. But as I said earlier in the show, they're looking at a couple of attacking options, if we're to believe the rumours in the press, and Akinade could be one of those players. Just going back to Dundalk, Conor Barry of Derry City, another player that could be on his way out of the Candy Stripes. If Vermeulen is to go back to his native Denmark, according to press reports today, Conor Barry could be the man to replace him. While Cork City are apparently looking at Sean Hoare, so it's just an absolute transfer merry-go-round at the moment.
It's rumour milk here.
Yeah, but it's getting everybody excited, and you've got to love it. It's what keeps us going over the winter months. So if this is the start of the rumour mill, I can't wait to see what's at the end of it.
Exactly. Now, a bit closer to home and our team, Longford Town, Rhys Gorman was released this week.
Yeah, so a great servant for the club, I have to say. 4 years of service to Longford Town, picked up a First Division title in 2014 and was a real fans' favourite, real gent to deal with. So the very best luck to Rhys. Didn't play a lot of football in the last two seasons for Longford Town for one reason or another, but he'd certainly be a grand addition for any of the First Division clubs. I think maybe a team like Shelburne or Capitale, he could really fit in there. So be interesting to see what the next step in Rhys Gorman's career is, but we certainly haven't heard the last of him, John. We promised the folks a monster show this week, John, and that's certainly what it's been so far. But before we round it up, just going to bring you some news today. The 2018 League of Ireland Premier Division season is set for an earlier start, a February start, we believe. February 16th looks to be the start date, so great news for the fans. And it looks like the promotion and relegation playoffs will make a return. Can I get your views on that, John?
Yeah, delighted with that, Kieran. I think we've seen this season, and I know you've been a huge critic of the lack of... Yeah. Playoffs. It's led to too many meaningless matches in the First Division, and to an extent, well, probably not in the Premier League, but the First Division's really suffered this year. This is a good thing, Kieran. I'm delighted they're coming back.
The one issue I would take with the new structure that looks to be going ahead next season, there could be up to 5 rounds of midweek games for Premier Division sides. We've seen midweek games simply do not work in this country. The attendances are much lower. It hits clubs far too much financially, and then we already have the ridiculous situation where teams aren't compensated for TV appearances, so they're taking double whammy. If, let's say for example, they play a midweek game, the gate is cut, and then they have a live game on telly on Friday at home, gate's cut again. You're talking about huge chunks of money for clubs that are already hanging on week to week.
And let's face it, the FAI fixture computer will come out with Derry against Cork being a midweeker, Kieran. It's guaranteed, I'm afraid. So it's no good for the fans. It's no good for the teams having to travel such distances
and
midweek.
Just on the playoffs, we obviously touched on it earlier, but for me, an absolutely ridiculous situation, but not one we're unaccustomed to. It seems to happen every time the FAI decide to tinker with the structure in the League of Ireland. Still no verdict or announcement on what way the playoff system will work, what way the new First Division system will work. So as I said, Drogheda and Harps are coming down into a division where they do not know how many playoff positions are going to be available. They can't set their budgets accordingly to that. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's short term planning, but it's nothing new from the FAI, John.
No, you're obviously very critical on that one, Kieran.
But ladies and gentlemen, that has been episode 17 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. I want to give a huge shout out to the folks at Flowmax.ie who have sponsored us tonight, and they're also sponsoring next week's show, and hoping that they'll come on board as well for the entire year next year. So thanks very much to Michael and the folks at Flowmax.ie. As I said at the very beginning, myself and John here, we've had to put our own money into setting up this venture, equipment and stuff like that, and a lot of hours go into it. We've been in the recording studio for nearly 3 hours here already, John. It really is a mammoth effort that we put in every week, so we really, really do appreciate anyone that's backing us, let it be through sponsorship, and of course everyone at home that's tuning in every week. What I could really ask from everyone now for this episode, you know, we've put huge planning into this, John. Getting the 3 guests on from the teams that could potentially go down on Friday, and obviously the 2 sides that already went down. So everyone that listens to this, if you've enjoyed the show, can you please give us a subscription on iTunes and a review as well? It really does help us, and it allows us to get a bit of feedback as well. So to plan ahead for future shows and see what you like to listen to, what you don't like to hear on the show. So that'd be great from everyone.
Yep, so until the next show next week, Kieran.
Yeah, so obviously next week we're going to discuss how the final round of games played out, who went down, and obviously then we'll be looking ahead to the FAI Cup final, Cork City and Dundalk, third year running. We're hoping to have guests from both of those clubs on, and maybe a few pundits as well, well-known pundits within the league that might give us their verdicts and their analysis on that big game at the Aviva Stadium. But that's been episode 17, folks. Thanks very much for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Don't forget, subscribe on iTunes or alternatively follow us on Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Casts or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. See you next week.